It is really good to be with you this morning. If my count is correct, we have 14 more days until Easter, till Resurrection Sunday, the conclusion of the 40 days of the season of Lent. And as a church, we've set aside this time to prepare ourselves, to renew ourselves. In some ways, renewal is a remaking, because with each new sunrise, we have the opportunity to be renewed by God for the purposes he has intended for us. And with each new day, we can be made more into the likeness of Christ. So far in the 40 days of Lent, we've explored new blessings that Jesus has brought us. The good news, new teaching, new wineskins, a new covenant. And this week we're going to talk about Jesus' new command. But if we're to become something new, if we become more like Jesus, some things have got to change within us. And change is hard. Change is disruptive. Because the old way cannot continue, something must happen to change its course. And do we really want that? Is that something we're willing to accept or even invite into our lives? It's a bit of a scary thought, and just about everything in our world is pushing us past our comfort zone these days. As evidenced by our very setup here this morning, our way of life has been forcibly disrupted, and we're all experiencing the effects of this new way of living brought on by this worldwide pandemic. We are all being stretched. And everyone I've talked to in the last few weeks has experienced, talked to me about how they're experiencing pushes against their comfort, against their safety and their security. We didn't choose this disruption. And probably most of us would put things back to the way they were before if we could somehow press that button. But yet God is not surprised by this. He's not surprised by this. I don't believe he wants us to freeze like a deer in the headlights of a car. But I do think the words he has given us, the commands he has given us, are to be engaged now in the reality of this present moment. And today we're going to talk about Jesus' new command to love, and we're going to wrestle with a question. We're going to wrestle with this question: what does it mean to love like Jesus loved? What does it mean to love like Jesus loved? Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Father, I want to invite you into this time. I know this setup is unusual. I know that we're not used to worshiping you on a Sunday morning in this way. But you are not changed this morning. Your goodness, your power, your love, your mercy, all those things are as they always have been, and you are with us. I pray that you would draw us into your presence this morning, that you would teach us what you desire for us to learn and to know. I pray this in your name. Amen. What does it mean to love like Jesus loved? I have, as I mentioned, this is a season of stretching and adjustment for most of us, and I'm certainly not an exception to that. We are all kind of in our unique situations right now. One of those unique situations is we don't have physical contact with too many people. For some of you, it's nobody at all. You're isolated. For some of us, it's our family units. And I think we have the opportunity for those who are in that situation to love people particularly well, the ones that we still have some physical contact with. Maybe we can drive them crazy at the same time. We could do both. But I've been doing some new things in this season, and one of those new things has been drawing. I've been doing some drawing with my kids. I'm not a big drawer. So one of the things I've been trying to do, though, is to take time to spend with my children in meaningful ways, to listen to when they're asking and inviting me into something, and to say yes to it. And so I've been doing some drawing. My daughter and I did a couple pictures together. This is, can we see this okay? Nobody's gonna be able to answer me if they're. This is Farmer Brown. He's colorful. He's using a rake to harvest carrots, which is impractical but cute. We have different media here, and I'm part of the reason I just want to show you these is I just want to bring a little bit of our house and our space to you this morning. So we've also been working on this watercolor. These are birds, theoretically. They're definitely in the air, so that counts. And I think the trees are decent, and I don't really know what this is over here, but I thought I'd share with you. Another thing that's been new for me is dancing. My parents, my dad and my stepmom, sent out a challenge video this week. They've been doing these challenges to try and engage our kids. And they sent out this video this week. The challenge is Dance Contest 2020. It is to CNC Music Factory's Everybody Dance Now soundtrack. And so all the grandkids are supposed to get in on this and post their own videos. And so my kids were asleep when I first got this Told my wife about it. She was pretty enthused, and I told my parents, yeah, we're going to do this. So the next morning I got up, showed the kids the video. My two oldest immediately disappeared from the room. But as I was showing the video, my youngest, my daughter, who's probably our most extroverted and definitely our danciest personality, she's already starting to move. She's already starting to grab my hand and like bring me into the living room saying, she was saying, Daddy, you and I just went to the daddy-daughter dance, so we know how to dance. And it's technically accurate that she knows how to dance. I know how to send signals from my brain to my arms and my legs. I can't believe I'm going to do this, actually. All right, so stepping out of my comfort zone, we did this. We choreographed this thing, and we recorded it. And I brought a snippet of that video to show you guys this morning. And I don't know if I'm loving you well by showing you this, but those of you who know me, really know me, you know what a big deal this is. So I truly, I do not dance, and I do not post things on the internet in general, especially dance videos that I'm in. So without further ado, here goes. Well, it was something, right? I've been hearing from experts that it's important for us to keep getting exercise. So if you feel inspired in any way and you want to post your own videos to our page, we'd love to see what you can create. My son wanted to challenge anybody that wants to put something together that's funny in particular. This is the season when we have so many serious things going on that we both have the need to engage in those serious things, but also I think a need to laugh at times too. So sometimes God calls us to new things. For me, in this season, it's been engaging my kids in new ways. And I believe this could be one of those moments in history when God is calling us to a new kind of thing. So without further ado, let's read together from John 13. We'll look at Jesus' new command together. You can find this, you can read along with me if you want, John chapter 13, verse 31. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. And if God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Two immediate questions come to mind for me when I think about this passage. The first is, why does Jesus call this command new? And the second is, what do these five words really mean, as I have loved you? I want to dive into these two questions more, especially the second question, as I see it's really critical to understanding the meaning of this passage. But first, I want to take a moment to examine the nature of what Jesus is doing here. He is giving us a command, not a recommendation, a suggestion or a pro tip, but a command. And when a good God gives a command, it is without a doubt a good thing. And Jesus unashamedly commands us. He intends for us to follow it, to obey it, to spend our lives and our energy and our passions and our creativity to make it happen, even if it costs us our lives someday. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Church, the world needs us to obey this command right now. I know so many of you, maybe even all of you, are praying and asking God to help right now in this season. And I believe that at least some of the help that God will give in this present crisis will be through the loving actions of his people. The world needs the love of Jesus right now, and we can be his agents. So stepping back into this passage, How is this really a new command? I think Jesus is getting at something important by calling it new. The two greatest commandments we see in all of Scripture are to love God and to love our neighbor. And these commandments are very old. They were given over 3 millennia ago. We find the first in Deuteronomy, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord with all your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." And then in Leviticus, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." So why is Jesus telling us this is a new command when these commandments are in fact very, very old? Part of the answer has to do with what Rick shared about last Sunday from the New Covenant. Jesus is the mediator of God's new covenant with his people, and he, as the mediator, is uniquely qualified to issue or reissue commands. But the other part of the answer, what I want to focus on today, comes from understanding the Greek word for new here, kainos. New in quality, innovation, fresh in development, or opportunity, something that was not found exactly like this before. To my understanding, the weight of Jesus' new command rests with these 5 words, is I have loved you. This is what's fresh. This is what's new. We've known all our lives that we are supposed to love each other, as did Jesus' disciples as well. But what was kainos, what was new, fresh, innovative, was the model Jesus provided for them and for us about how to love. Jesus modeled a pure, selfless kind of love that no other human has ever duplicated, but nonetheless, he is commanding us to follow. And this new love that Jesus models has 3 important aspects to it. It's a kind of love that considers the needs of others above our own, what I'm going to call a foot-washing love, mostly because that's so awkward and I hope it's memorable. Foot-washing love. The second aspect is the kind of love that gives life. It's a life-giving love. And the 3rd aspect of this love is that it is powerful. First, let's talk about how Jesus modeled loving humbly. Jesus, he created everything. He is absolutely preeminent over everything and everyone. And if there's anyone to whom all others should bow down, it is Jesus. But look at how Jesus models loving for his disciples. This is in the same chapter in John, chapter 13. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. And he asked them, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." I've taken part in a few foot washing ceremonies at times, and it's difficult, twofold. One, it takes a certain amount of humility to be able to wash somebody else's feet, and it takes something unique to be able to allow somebody to serve in return in that same way. And in the same way, when we generically bring that to other spaces of service, it can be hard to serve, and it can be hard to receive serving, but this is something that God is calling us to do. This is the kind of love that is included in this new command. 2nd aspect of this new love that Jesus models for us is a life-giving love. Ironically, it's Christ's willingness to give up his own life that fuels his ultimate gift of love for us. Jesus glorified God by fulfilling his purpose by going to the cross, suffering what should have been our punishment, and coming back from the dead, defeating death and making a way to offer us reconciled relationship with God and thereby eternal life. Jesus modeled a life-giving love, and he did it by sacrificing his own life, by pouring out his own life to give life to us. And he offers that to us. That is still an active offer. If you are listening this morning and you don't yet have a relationship with Jesus, I want to invite you to offer your life to him, to in faith believe in him, repent of your sins, and step into that relationship with him, because he offers reconciled relationship with God And there's nothing that we need more than that. And there's no gift that is more beautiful. Jesus wants us to pour out our lives in the same life-giving way that he modeled for us. To use our passion, our energy, and our creativity to bless others. To be constantly looking for opportunities to pour ourselves out for others. To love in a life-giving way. There's a third aspect of Jesus' new command to love, and that is power. Spiritual power. Something very important has changed from the days of Deuteronomy and Leviticus, from the earliest days when God first commanded his people to love until now. And I believe that Jesus had this very change in mind the moment he spoke this command. He knew that he would ultimately lay down his life and submit himself to death and punishment for our sake to provide the quintessential act of love. But Jesus also knew that he would rise from the grave and that the third member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, would come on Jesus' disciples in power. We find this moment in the book of Acts at Pentecost, and all the disciples are gathered together, and the Holy Spirit comes on them. It says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And since that time in Acts, anyone who places their faith in Jesus and repents of their sin continues to receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit, and with the Holy Spirit comes spiritual power. And there is a mystery to this that no human can fully comprehend. But Scripture communicates that everyone who has the Holy Spirit has a spiritual gift of some kind. And that gift is given by God to be used for a purpose. If you are a follower of Jesus, you have a spiritual gift, perhaps many, that God has intended for us to use at this time. We have been specially empowered by God to love. And the way we love will prove to the world that we are truly followers of Jesus. The way we love will show the world what Jesus is like. And that's the most, and that's important because the greatest need our world has is what only Jesus can provide. If you are a follower of Jesus, but you don't know what your spiritual gifts are that God has given you, I think now is a great time to find those out because you've got to use them. I asked our tech folks to post in our page somewhere, a test that you can use if you don't know what your spiritual gifts are. There are a lot of great tests out there. I'm not advocating one over another one, but I can remember this one from stage. It's called spiritualgiftstest.com. And then again, it'll be on the post if you want to check that out and see the ways that God may have gifted you so that you can employ those. These gifts that God gave us to steward, he didn't intend for us to bury them under a rock to preserve them. He intends for us to bless the church and the world with them. With powerful love. I like how Paul writes to the Roman church about spiritual gifts in Romans 12. He says this, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. God has enabled us to love and power. It's not our power, it's God's, but he has granted it to us to be stewarded, to be used. And that doesn't give us an excuse to only go out and love in the ways that we're particularly gifted. In fact, in this time, there are so many demands, so many needs that our community has. We need to be loving in ways that are far, far out of our comfort zone. But let us not neglect the gifts that God has given us. I've seen in recent weeks, so many Christ followers lean strongly into the gifts God has given them. And it's been a true blessing to me, and I see it as a blessing to our church and to our communities. The world needs this new love that Jesus modeled for us. A foot-washing love. A life-giving love. A powerful love. And it needs it right now. I know we long for someone to develop a vaccine for COVID-19. That would be awesome. It would be such a blessing. But what our world needs most is the love of God spread by followers of Jesus. The world needs fresh love. Fresh love, and we can give it. To the degree that God has enabled us, we can give it. But how can we do that when so much has changed? When so many of us are stuck inside and physically isolated? when some of us are even sick. What does loving as Jesus loved look like in this moment in history? I don't know. Not for sure. Not fully. But I believe this is the right question to ask. And I'm trying to answer it for myself. Could loving as Jesus loved look like dancing with my daughter? Could it look like praying for our loved ones and for total strangers? Could it look like not buying more than we need at the grocery store? Could it look like staying disciplined to get up early and spend time with God and enhance my personal connection to Him? Might it look like taking time to think through who I know that is in need right now and trying to find ways to meet that need? Could it look like taking a look at our finances and deciding what more we can do, we can afford to do, to give to organizations that are doing amazing things right now, needed things? Does it look like thanking every employee I pass in the grocery store, albeit from 6 to 8 feet away? Might it involve writing letters to seniors who are not allowed visitors in this season? Does it look like maintaining my own personal health rhythms to make sure I'm healthy enough to be there for my friends and my family and strangers, even to support all those people working so hard in the hospitals by staying healthy so we're not putting an additional burden on them? Might it mean embracing this unusual time for solitude with God rather than mere isolation from others? What does loving as Jesus loved look like in this moment? I really believe that is the right question to ask. Because this, I think what God wants in this season is a new, fresh, innovative love that He is commanding us to. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Jesus did this. He constantly saw the needs of people around them. He looked into people's eyes. He knew what was on their hearts, and He met those needs. He wasn't afraid to get in close into those spaces with them. He invested deeply in relationship, and He wasn't too great to humble Himself and to serve. And despite our limited mobility, all of us have the ability to pray. There are a few times in my life when my prayer list has been this long. So many people I love and care about are in really difficult situations right now. And there's so many things we can be lifting to God right now. And prayer is real work. Whether you're praying on your own or you're praying also together with others. If you're a parent, I want to ask you to enlist your children in the cause. I think we may make a mistake if we don't allow them to wage the spiritual battle that is playing out right now, even though they're young. Sometimes the most effective prayers are those uttered by the lips of children. This may be an unusual season of uncertainty. But let me share with you a few things that are certain. A few very important things that no plague or social disruption can touch. Jesus loves you. He desires a relationship with you. He has provided a way for you to be reconciled to God, to be in eternal relationship with God, and He has given us a new command to love as He has loved. What could God be calling us to as a church in this season? The reality is that it's sometimes tough to tell Christians from non-Christians because our love really doesn't look all that different at times. I was reading Tony Evans this week, and he said a loveless Christian actually undermines the gospel. But in this season of increased global hardship and uncertainty, God is certainly calling His church to a new kind of love, a fresh, innovative love. And in many ways, our lives have been disrupted, our comfort, our security, our safety, our futures. Rather than be overwhelmed and defeated by those things, as a church, can we rise up in the midst of societal uncertainty and love with certainty? Because in an uncertain season, God is calling us to love with certainty. I'm going to ask you a question and just leave this question with you this morning. Will you commit sometime today to asking God what it might look like for you to love as Jesus has loved in the season? One way you could do that is by taking out the scriptures. You can turn to 1 Corinthians 13. And there's this beautiful chapter about what love looks like. And I'd encourage you to pray through it with God and just ask Him, Lord, how are you calling me to love? How did you show us what love is like, and how are you calling me to love? It may be silly little things. That might be drawing or dancing with your kids. It might be things that require a great deal more effort and more courage. At New Life, we seek to be a vibrant, reproducing church who lives out the greatest commandment and the Great Commission. And at the moment, in this particular moment, this is the moment to live these things out. The world needs Jesus, and we have the opportunity and the honor of showing the world Jesus by the way we love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we only love because you first loved us, because you created us and made us able to love. Our love is imperfect compared to yours, but there are so many real needs in our world right now, and each of us is positioned uniquely to meet some of them. And I pray that you would lead us, that you would show us, that you would guide us, that you encourage us, strengthen us, help draw us out of a space of feeling frozen or defeated, to move into a space where, despite our limitations, despite the challenges that we're facing, we love courageously, we love innovatively. We love because you first loved us, and we bring you glory by the way we love. Pray all these things in your holy name. Amen. If you have communion elements, I forgot to ask this on the front end. I'd love to celebrate communion with you this morning. I know we can't be physically present, but if you have communion elements at home, go ahead and get them out at this time. I was originally given one new command to teach on this morning, but I want to close our time or move into this time of communion with another command. It's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. It's something that I probably quote to myself and my heart multiple times every day. Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is a season where most of us are experiencing an unusual, perhaps even unprecedented amount of heightened anxiety in our lives. There is so much uncertainty right now that affects us and affects our lives in global, pervasive ways. When will I be able to see my friends and family again? How many people are going to get sick? What will happen when they do? How will our medical system cope with this? How will our government lead through this? How will our economy hold up? How will I buy enough food for my family? Why am I coughing? What are we going to do about our wedding or about that funeral? And how am I going to break it to my kids when we run out of toilet paper? I know these questions are real and uncertainty is weighing us down, but God does not want us to carry these burdens on our own. In fact, he is offering to take them. Church, I want to remind you that even in these uncertain times, God is still God and he is still good and he is strong and he's full of compassion and he's with us. As we step into this time of communion, the bread represents Christ's body broken for us, and the blood, the juice, his blood poured out for us. And he is waiting. This is a special time for him as well. He broke bread last with his disciples, and he is waiting until he is going to make all things new. And in this time, he wants us to remember the good things we have from him. So I encourage you, take the things that are causing you anxiety and offer them to God in this time. You may have to dig deep to find those ones that are really entrenched and really holding on, but I encourage you to offer them to God. And as you give those to God, he is going to give you an armload of peace back, and his arms are much bigger than yours. So in this time, I think we have an opportunity to both bring God our anxieties, the things that are causing us challenge, but also it's a time for gratitude. So would you go ahead and celebrate communion with me? Heavenly Father, we love you. We are cared for by you uniquely. You know our needs. You know every single person who's listening this morning. you can go right into the spaces where they are, whether it's their living room or their bedroom or their bathroom or a walk outside or who knows. But you know exactly where they are. You know right where you need to meet them most, and I pray that you would. Lord, you know the things that are anxious in my heart. You know the things that are on my prayer list, the things that I cannot control but desire for you to come through in. And you can offer peace. Lord, I feel so grateful for the constancy that I have in you, that you are not changing, and even my ability to reach out to you is unchanged. God, we are in your presence because of your goodness, and if we have a relationship with you, Lord, it's because of your love. Thank you for all those things this morning. In your holy name we pray. Amen. We are going to move into a time of worship. I'd love to invite Shepherd back to join me. I know everything is disrupted in this season, but we're trying to maintain as much consistency as we can in these opportunities. I'd love to invite you to worship with us. If you're the kind of person that stands up in church, maybe you stand up for this. You're welcome to sing along. We can't hear you, but if you sing loud enough, maybe we can. So go ahead and join us as we worship.